Blog Talk Radio.
Hot Dog Radio.
He said Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I did.
Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
It's radio's happy hour, less 15 minutes. So for the next 45 minutes, it's you, me, and the multi-time mayor of Suplex City, Steve Baxley, as we talk about things pertinent and non-pertinent. Steve, how in the blue hell are you?
I am doing fine. I just finished watching the Motor City Tradition, otherwise known as the Ford Fireworks on WDINV Detroit.
And I'm sure the tradition continues with lots of bangs for the buck.
Yep, the fish flies were flying, Carmen's hat looked adorable, and Devin was there. I don't know why they gave them the funny hats about 5 minutes with about maybe 10 minutes left in the show, but to picture Devin Scillian, and if they ever broadcast the show, it was impossible to miss up. The hair was... put him in a little hair hat and a mustache, and I swear to you, he looked like George Clinton.
You don't mean Bill Clinton. You meant George Clinton.
George Clinton. George Clinton and the Funkadelics. I swear to you this, a stack of Bibles, a stack of comic books. If I should pass, I want George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelics to play.
What?
One of their best hits.
What would you want them to play?
Oh boy.
You can't think of anything.
I like songs. I like all that they do, man.
Yeah, they're even today they can liven up a party.
So I'm trying to think of the song that they played in that movie that introduced us to the guy that played Ari from Entourage.
I can't tell you. I can tell you some songs. Flashlight. One Nation Under a Groove. Not Just Needy. Chocolate City.
There
my personal
go,
favorite.
Hey.
Chocolate City?
Chocolate
and
City.
And all its vanilla suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I may have to think about that. Would be interesting because I won't want my going away to be sad. I mean, I would like to have some funk at my funeral, and a lot of new era ball caps.
Oh yes,
that's all me, you know. So, yeah, we found out something right then and there. We both had that in common. We both liked the stylings and the sounds of George Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
And his all-star, I tell you.
Especially
it's hard to believe that. Yeah, it's hard to believe that man has been rocking the hits since the late 50s.
I mean, the guy does not age.
Well, when you have all those honeys in the band, you can't age.
This is true. This is true.
So yeah. So that's we have to remember that. Yeah. So you know, we've had a lot of sadness over the past few weeks. It's time for some, well, not quite yet, because we have a developing situation in Knoxville, Tennessee that may or may not resolve itself within the next few hours. Basketball Hall of Famer and University of Tennessee women's head coaching legend Pat Summitt is not doing so well, to the point where her pastor has ceased visitations. A lot of Pat's former players and her family have been by her side almost all day today. Matter of fact, one of her stars, Tamika Catchings, I don't know if she retired from the WNBA or not, but she made a great effort to get to be with Coach Summitt. Obviously, Pat Summitt is the winningest women's basketball coach of all time. She has put so many of her players domestically and foreign in pro basketball. She is an innovator and a living legend. And the family, and you mentioned this on your show last night, the family has requested privacy and prayers for strength. And I respect that, and just all we can do is hope for the best for the head Summitt families. So,
I second and third that.
That's good. So there's no way to transition out of that comfortably, but we'll have to do it anyway.
Yes. Let's now go from that to the Detroit Tigers.
Wow. You mean after the scalping the Cleveland Indians did on them over the weekend?
Oh, my Lord. They got mollywopped. And the one mighty... I said this once, and I says it again. I don't believe I will ever say it as many times as I can, but I agreed with Mike Pelini of 97.1 FM, the ticket, when he said when Justin Verlander comes out of that surgery, the arm... it's not going to be the same. He will not be the same Justin Verlander. The Justin Verlander of old is gone. You're going to be left with someone who will be exposed. The team will expose him, and that team has.
Explain, Justin Verlander is going into surgery.
Well, long time ago, as you remember, Justin Verlander, I think a couple of years ago, went in for some arm surgery. Actually,
okay.
Shoulder surgery.
That's a serious business.
Yes. When he came back, a lot of critics, including Mike Foligno, all said that the Justin Verlander, we all knew, with the fast arm and the over 98, almost close to 100 mile per hour pitch, is that Justin Verlander is gone. What we're going to have for a while is an uncertain Justin Verlander. His pitches may be may be a little bit more weak, but there's going to be a time when the opponents are going to find that weakness and they're going to exploit it.
Like what the Cleveland Indians did.
They not only exploited it, they put it on the front page. I mean, losing to the Cleveland Indians once is okay. Losing to them twice, so what, 9 times this season, and we are closing in on the All-Star break, and the Tigers are in fourth place. Brother, we are in the throes of trouble.
We're the capital team.
That's right, because I don't know about the Detroit Tigers now. I really don't.
Think they're going to be seller?
I think, personally, unless they don't right the ship, what happened last year, you might as well say it, it's going to be more devastating this season. I mean, right now they're in third place in the AL Central. Cleveland is now a hot team, but you got to ask yourself, how much longer will Cleveland be this hot before they decide to go into, like, the September swoon? And
so we can say now that Cleveland Indians will be buyers, the way it's going right now.
The way it's going right now, I have a feeling the Indians management, the Indians owners, are paying careful attention to not only the team, but the standings, and they're thinking, okay, how are we going to keep this team fresh? How are we going to keep this team from a total collapse after the All-Star break? Because I'm telling you this right now, the two best teams in the American and National League, Cleveland Indians for the American League and the Chicago Cubs for the National.
Yeah, but Cubs have had some tough times lately. The hottest team currently in the American League are the Houston Astros.
Yes. Yeah, that's right, Houston Astros. And, I mean, you got Houston Astros, you got the Cleveland Indians. Wow.
Yeah, and just the very thought that the Cavaliers had $1.3 million downtown for their victory parade and celebration. Suppose the unthinkable happens and somehow the Indians pull it off.
Good point.
It'd be interesting. And if the Browns have a winning season, that's enough right there to have a parade.
Yeah, wouldn't it be literally insane if Cleveland becomes the home of champions? I mean, right now, looking at the American League standings, the hottest team, yes, Texas Rangers, Houston Astros in the West. In the Central, you got Cleveland Indians, Kansas City Royals. In the East, you got the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox. In the National League, you got the Nationals and Marlins. The Central, you got the Cubs and Cards.
Ho.
The Giants and Dodgers in the
you
West.
You said the Marlins?
That's right. National League East. Nationals in first, Marlins in second.
Wow.
This is a season that no one would have ever thought we would have teams that were once cellar dwellers literally now quite possibly could meet each other in playoffs. If the season ended right now, you would have the Orioles, you would have the Indians, you'd have the Rangers, and maybe the Astros playing in the American League playoffs. While in the National League, you'd have the Nationals, the Cubs, the Giants, and the L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah,
that is wild.
Yeah, that is mind-blowing. And the Yankees are going to be sellers this year. And they're in the cellar, by the way.
Oh, boy.
And it couldn't happen to a nicer team.
This is true.
Yeah. You're listening to Tom on the Radio, and me and Steve are just talking about whatever is on our schemule minds, and sometimes my mind is kind of little and scheming, so we'll just continue with our dialogue here.
Because right now the worst team in the American League is the Minnesota Twins. In fact, I hear the Minnesota Twins are changing their names to the Minnesota Singlets.
I'm sure those taxpayers up in Minnesota, like, say, we built them a new ballpark with this piece of slop.
Yeah, and how the mighty have fallen. The worst team in the National League is the Atlanta Braves.
And they don't care because they're moving out of Atlanta next year. They're going to go to Cobb County and play in the new ballpark. That's near to their and I want to say this, to nearest to their Lily White fan base.
Oi.
Hey, I'm just speaking the truth. I mean, yeah. Cobb County is a very, very rich county in Georgia, and it's just funny. You're going to have a team with Atlanta on their chest, but they're nowhere near Atlanta. Figure that one out.
This is true.
Like, I still can't get over the Miami Marlins in playoff contention. Mm-hmm. I can't get over it.
I can't either.
Something wrong. Is there something wrong with that statement?
The world has literally gone topsy turvy, my friend.
Yes, it has, and it really went topsy turvy today for our friends over across the pond, who played like they were in a pond. I cannot. I'm not even British, and it makes me sick to think the birthplace of football as we know it just tanked it today. Either they tanked it or Iceland is a better team than we think they are.
Yeah, I mean, England was once a mighty power in soccer. And now all of a sudden, ouch. They got
humbled. Jokes.
Yes. And how about this? The night that Argentina got embarrassed by Chile, their leader, the man, the myth, the legend, Messi, announced he was through. He is reportedly done with the Argentine national team.
Because the Argentine fans don't show him enough love. He's not as revered as, let's say, Diego Maradona. And the same thing he said for Cristiano Ronaldo over in Portugal. He's a very talented player, but he's very temperamental. At least, the superstars that we know, like LeBron, they get their guys to buy in and play well together. the two gentlemen we named, and I will say Wayne Rooney in England. Oh my goodness. I mean, Iceland is surprising everybody, not just with their play on the field, but with their fanaticism in the stands.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought I was surprised when Chile defeated Argentina, but the way this, but the way things are playing out in the Euro, wow.
And we're not even talking about the USA, I mean, who finished in fourth place. I mean, some say that's a victory, but, I mean, what's the aim of getting in a tournament is to win. And they got plastered by Argentina.
Oh,
so the United States, I don't know who has a longer ways to go, the U.S. soccer team or the England soccer team. Man, they're going to be talking about this loss in England for a very long time.
Oh, yes. I mean, England and soccer are synonymous with each other. But when you have a team such as the UK has, you think, hey, they're going to make it all the way. And now all of a sudden, why did they even show up? Did they even show up?
Man. And you got their neighbor. You have their neighbors, like Northern Ireland and Wales, still in the tournament.
Wouldn't it be wild if Wales won?
I'm sure Tom Jones would be very happy being a Walesman himself.
I mean, let's be serious here for a moment. Ever since Leicester City won, sports world has literally been just nuts. I mean, you have Leicester City winning after so many years
You'd be nuts too if you had flipped down some money on a 5,000-to-1 odds.
Yeah, I mean, first you had Leicester City winning, then in basketball you got Cleveland winning.
Yeah.
In hockey, you had Pittsburgh winning. I'm afraid to find out what baseball team's going to win the World Series. If it's the Cubs,
I'm afraid to find out who's going to be in it.
I'll tell you this: if the Cubs keep going the way they are, and Cleveland keeps going the way they are, folks, start planning your parties. One of those two teams is going to make the year 2016 the year of miracles.
Yeah, I don't think either city is ready for it. I mean, Cleveland just finished their celebration for the Cavaliers. And let's not forget their minor league hockey team, the Lake Erie Monsters, won the Calder Cup. So Cleveland has two championships and within weeks.
That's right.
So it could be, you know, the city of champions. So,
indeed,
you know,
and I'm scared.
Well, our man Mike Spark,
I just can't wait to find out what's next.
Yeah. Our man Mike Sparks has bought his ticket on the Detroit Lions bandwagon, and I'll say it like this. There's something to be excited about the Detroit. Oh, by the way, it's 73 days from today, the first regular season game in the National Football League. So something to look forward to. But Mike Sparks is on board with the Lions.
I don't blame him.
I'm on board with the cheerleaders, but, you know.
Me too.
I'm a guy.
Yeah,
like the Lions need more ampness in their home games. But I will tell you, this is a big, big, big year for the Lions. I think that if the Lions stay status quo and underperform, there are going to be some major changes on that team, from the head coach down to the starting quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I
can't wait for the Lions preseason just to see the new look.
Yeah, and the Lake Erie neighbors, the Lions and the Browns, are two of the five NFL teams that have never been to a Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? I mean, this is a reach. I mean, in Cleveland, they'll be doing parades for a winning season, yet alone a playoff contender. But
yeah.
As I said on your show last night, Steve, if Leicester City can do it, why not the Lions?
True.
I mean, Leicester City, they didn't come out of nowhere, but they did surprise a lot of people. And they played football the way you're supposed to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what Iceland did today. They played the way you're supposed to play. The Italians played the way you're supposed to play. England played like it was a business trip.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You saw what happened.
Yep, they got the business end all right. They're now flying back home.
Yeah, as soon as the final whistle went, the coach said, well, my contract expired at the end of the season, so I think I'm going to step aside and let somebody else take over and collect my pension and feed the birds and all that.
Watch the river.
And watch the canes. It is just so funny. I mean, they say someday the meek will inherit the earth, and I can't think of many more meeker teams that is so talented as Iceland. I can't.
I can't either. I mean, if Iceland goes along and goes all the way, could Iceland be the soccer version of the Detroit Lions?
Or the soccer version of Leicester City?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but it's nice when you have teams that have been down for so long finally get the brass ring and give hope to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, indeed.
Everybody's worrying about, well, you know, like thinking about next year. And my thing is, if you're like Cleveland or like Leicester City, let this year keep going into next year, because no matter if you win another one, it will not be as good as this one.
Nothing is as good as you.
Say it. No. It's never as good as the first time. I know, I understand. So we're down to our last 10, 15 minutes, and we're on Tom on the Radio. It's Steve Baxley, in mid-Michigan, and I'm Tom O'Neill here on the East Coast. And we're just talking.
Speaking of talk, the ratings came out for Sunday Fun and Games on ABC.
Oh, yes. Give it to me, you big stud.
All three shows won their time slot. And the reviews on the new match team, fantastic. They thought the meshing of the past and the present, the meshing of the theme music and everything was fantastic. They liked the little tweak of the Supermatch final round for the Pyramid, and this is going to piss off Kelly Ripa even more. Strahan succeeded. Dick Clark would have been proud of him. Bob Stewart would have been proud of him.
Bill Cullen would be proud of him.
And the tweak, instead of doing the A, B, the alphabet, they just did the time. That really scored. And, of course, who can forget Steve Harvey's show, another hit, Celebrity Family Feud.
Oh, yeah.
But going back to match game, Alec Baldwin scored.
Well, it was a rough go at the first part of the first game. And, you know, but I think he loosened up on the second question when it was about his brothers. I think he like I'm going to like this.
I'm going to love the whole three programs.
And then you throw in on Tuesdays to tell the truth.
Yes.
And on Thursdays you have BattleBots. That's one of my favorite. I love BattleBots.
Oh yes.
So ABC has a strategy, and they don't overplay that strategy. They only do it once a year.
Yeah, once a season. But I gotta say one thing. This is the first year for Pyramid and Match Game. This is the second year for Family Feud. If this thing clicks like it is for the rest of the summer, wow. This, could you imagine NBC, CBS, Fox, and order the CW saying, we want a piece of that.
Well, a lot of those networks try game shows. I mean, even the CW with the Monopoly Millionaires Club, they did a game show. Hollywood Party Night on NBC. So they've dabbled, but not like this.
I mean, could you imagine they come up with game shows on Saturday night?
Yeah, that would be an excellent night, especially if they go up against college football.
Oh boy!
I mean, what game show would you like to see next? What's my line?
Oh, that would be fun. There's one game show I would love to see them bring back. And no, it's not Hollywood Squares, although that would be nice. And
yeah,
I would love for them to bring back Treasure Hunt, the show that used to be hosted by Jeff.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, yes. Yes. No, better than that.
No.
You bring back Match Game. Okay, let's deposit the Treasure Hunt out of our minds. You bring back
Please
match,
do.
Yes. You bring back Match Game. We got to have bizarreness back. We got to have insanity back. We got to have the Gong Show back.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Jeff Edwards made the Treasure Hunt. Nick Clooney made the Money Maze. Chuck Barris made the Gong Show. You have to have a certain type of host and certain types of contestants to make these shows work.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. I mean,
I mean
If not, the Gong Show.
To tell the truth is working only because you have diverse personalities and a host that is funny as all outdoors.
That's true.
Match game last night would made it because, well, Alec Baldwin didn't do so bad, and most of the panelists really knocked it out of the park, but it was the contestants. It was the vivacity of the contestants that made the show.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there are other game shows that can be brought back. I mean, hey. Why not the dating game?
There you go.
I mean, there was a time on ABC where you had the dating game and the newlywed game back to back.
Yeah. Bring back the dating game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially the way things are going now where, you know, the censors are not as strict. And, you know, you can get away with more. And you look at Family Feud. Most of their questions are of the racy variety.
Mm-hmm.
You were mentioning on your show last night about the Nene Leakes family. And I can't help but mention, oh, they got shut out, by the way, but she had two of her sons on the panel. One of her sons is in 11th grade, so I think it was kind of awkward for him to be playing in such a risque, shall we say, genre.
Oh, yes.
But it's TV, as you all know, Steve, is so circular. It's so symmetry. I mean, there was a time there was nothing but game shows on. But then you got dramas and westerns and sitcoms. And now you might be going back to dredging up some game shows.
Yeah, back in the hits.
Yeah, I can see What's My Line coming back, you know. Long as it's not 21, I do not want to ever see 21 again.
No.
And you bring back High Rollers.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, don't be surprised, especially after the presidential elections is coming up. Networks are going to want some new and fresh programming. Not the and game shows are kind of cheap to produce.
Mhm.
So that says something right there, you know. It's not really that much to talk about with the WWE. We see what's coming.
My curiosity about the storyline between the New Day and the Wyatts, oh, that is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, you could kind of see it last week. One of the New Day got hypnotized.
For
a few seconds. I wouldn't be surprised if the New Day and the Wyatts go at it for SummerSlam, because it might take a little bit to build up the juice for. I'll get back to him in a moment, but Battleground might be a little too soon, but they're gonna build it up. They're gonna build up on it. But what I am starting to see is the tension between the siblings McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got your good one and you got your bad one, and that bad one is starting to show her claws, as they say.
Oh yeah.
So that's gonna be interesting to see what happens on the first live edition of SmackDown on the 19th of July. And it'll be interesting to see who gets put in the where. So I guess they're trying to, show some excitement, because believe me, it's kind of lacking right now.
Yeah.
As you can tell by the moment of silence.
Yes, the moment of silence for the WWE.
Yes, well, we have one more thing to talk about, and that is the recently completed OJ Made in America, and it was so well done. I was hypnotized by all five parts. I mean, what I didn't know about the Trials of the Century and about OJ and his defense team, the Dream Team as they called them, and the prosecution, and even Judge Ito, I found out a lot in this documentary that they say, you know, revenge is best served ice cold, and OJ was just in the right place at the right time with the right jury.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, how can that man live with himself? I mean, because he knows he has a parking space in that other spot up in up there or down there.
And I'm just, he pulled everyone.
Well, he had that je ne sais quoi. He had that charm. He had the best lawyer's money could buy.
This is true.
Yeah.
As it is always said, money talks and what walks.
Yeah, bull dung walks.
Yes.
So, Steve, with that, we close another exciting chapter of Tom on the Radio. And once again, thank you for your fantastic participation. And we did it. Proud to say we did
it. Yes, we did.
So, yes,
looks
you did
like
it too.
We made it.
Oh, stop. Oh, stop. If I hear another Barry Manilow song, I'm going to go through that radio wire and choke you.
Sorry.
But Steve will sing himself. There is one more thing. ABC is breaking out a new show this Thursday night. Greatest Hits.
Ah!
Hosted by Arsenio Hall.
Finally.
Yeah, they're gonna have groups from the 70s and the 80s paired up with more contemporary groups to sing hits. So I think that's gonna be good. I'm gonna tell you, ABC is nailing it on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday nights.
Oh yeah.
And when the college football season starts, they'll nail in on Saturdays. So the Mouse House is... Yes, it is. They say everything old is new again, and that can't be any truer than the programming is done and doing by the Alphabet Network. So, interesting. But I will get back with you on Friday night. We will be back with you on Friday night, won't we?
Yes, we will.
At 11:30 Eastern time for Last Call Cafe with me.